Well, last Sabbath, Mr. Dave Harris put me on the spot. And he asked a question and said, well, maybe Mr. Link can answer it. And, of course, you might recall the question. He asked, why did actually Christ tell us to pray that our flight will not be on the Sabbath? Now, I'm not pretending to give you a dogmatic, complete, all-comprehensive answer, but I would like to give you a few thoughts. And in doing that, I'd like to go back to a Q&A which we have published on the place of safety. And if you have read that Q&A a short while ago, great. If you haven't, I'd recommend that you do so, because I just want to quote a few excerpts from it to set the stage. We say in this Q&A that Christ promises his people who are worthy a way to escape all the things that will come to pass. And then we give lots of scriptures. That place of refuge will be on this earth and not in heaven. And then later on we say this place of refuge is more clearly described in Revelation 12 and verse 14, promising the end-time church of God her place in the wilderness on this earth, prepared by God, a place where she will be nourished for 3.5 years and protected from Satan the devil. And then we are giving some parallel scriptures like Isaiah 33:16, describing the righteous person as dwelling on high. His place of defense, it says, will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him, and his water will be sure. And then later we say that while the woman has flown to her place of safety here on earth with two wings of a great eagle to be nourished there for 3.5 years, Satan will spew water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman. And this might perhaps allude to an army or to a military force. And the earth will open its mouth to help the woman. Now, these are all scriptures we are giving here, which I'm not quoting right now. All of this will happen on earth, not in heaven, as some who believe in the false concept of a secret rapture erroneously teach. Satan will proceed to persecute others within the church who will not be at the place of safety here on earth. And then we say that Revelation 12 pictures the flight of a particular group of people. Exactly how all of this will come about is yet to be revealed. However, the biblical parallels, as shown in past examples of God's deliverance, are recorded as lessons of encouragement and instruction for us. 2 Peter 2 tells us that God knows how to deliver the godly from temptation and trials, including the great tribulation. He saved Noah by letting him find protection in an ark. He delivered Lot by leading him out of Sodom and providing a place of refuge for him at a particular location. An early Christian escaped from Jerusalem and fled to the city of Pella just before the Romans invaded and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. And, of course, there's a lot more we say in this Q&A, but this as an introduction. And now the question. So why did Christ tell us to pray that our flight should not be on the Sabbath? Well, let's talk about the concept first, that the flight will take place at a very, very difficult time. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, let's see what else he is saying about it. In Matthew 24, beginning in verse 16, it's always interesting to read the context, lest we come to wrong ideas. In Matthew 24 and verse 16, he begins the discussion by saying, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him, verse 17, who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Verse 18, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those with nursing babies in those days. Verse 19, or verse 20 now, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So the context is a flight just prior to the Great Tribulation. It will be a stressful time, to say the least. Now, a parallel scripture can be found in Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 14, which I'm not going to go into. But there is an interesting passage in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 6. Again, I'm not going to turn there. Which says, take refuge and don't delay. So again, we see the same context, the same concept. If you're on the housetop, don't go into the house. Get out of there. The whole idea is like a pressing need to get out of there as quick as you can. Now, with this background, let's talk about flight. It says, pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath. We also heard about the flight of the woman to the place of safety in the wilderness. Now, how is that flight going to occur? There are different possibilities. One is by foot. You see, when Israel left Egypt, they walked out by foot. And even though they walked out by foot, God says that he delivered them on the wings of a great eagle. But it was by foot. It wasn't through an airplane. You see, they didn't have any airplanes at the time. So the scripture in Revelation doesn't necessarily mean it has to be through an airplane at all. But then there's also the possibility that it's going to happen for some supernaturally. Now, first of all, we have seen the context in Matthew 24. Christ specifically refers to the people in Judah. Now, what about the rest? What about all those around the world? How are they going to get to the place of safety? Perhaps, and I say and underline perhaps, supernaturally. Perhaps not for those in Judah, but for those outside Judah. Perhaps a supernatural transport to a place of gathering. So that they all then take the final walk, if you please, towards a place of safety, wherever it may be. I'm saying that because there are some interesting parallels. You know, when Israel will come out of slavery after the return of Jesus Christ, Christ says that he will meet them all in the wilderness. So they all will come out of slavery, captivity, go to whatever place it's going to be in the wilderness, and Christ will meet them there, the place of gathering then. We can also think of a perhaps satanic counterfeit. You can think of Armageddon, where the armies of the world will gather to move towards Jerusalem to fight the returning Christ. So it could be that. It could be a supernatural transport. And the Bible talks about quite a few of those examples. For instance, think of Philip. You see, Philip had baptized the eunuch. And then you can look at this later in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. After he had baptized the eunuch, God transported him supernaturally from one place to another 80 or so miles away. Think of Elijah. Elijah, of course, was transported from one place on the earth to another place on this earth supernaturally through angels. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 16 tells you that. It tells you even that the disciples thought about that he was transferred supernaturally from one place on the earth to another place on the earth. The idea that Elijah was sent to the third heaven is just absolute nonsense. And of course, it's not true at all, because God said later through Jesus Christ, nobody has ascended to heaven. So that could have not been an exception for Elijah. All right, there's another interesting example insofar as Ezekiel is concerned. Now you read that in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel again is being transported through angels, apparently, to Jerusalem, even though he was in captivity in Babylon. And then he saw what was happening there in Jerusalem. And then, of course, you have another good example, and that is Satan. You know that Satan transported Jesus Christ at least twice from where he was in the desert to, in one occasion, a high mountain where he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a vision. And on another occasion, of course, he sent him to the pinnacle of the temple and told him, you know, throw yourself down. And that was real, because otherwise it wouldn't have been a temptation. So again, we've seen that even Satan has those powers. Most certainly God has, and he has used those possibilities and procedures in the past. So it's another possibility that that could happen to some. which would do away with the fear and concern for some saying, well, I don't have the money to buy a plane ticket if I'm living there in the most distant corners in the world. No, you don't have to worry about that. God will take care of it. But the point still is, it's going to be an extremely uncomfortable time. Because Christ is talking about praying that the flight would not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Now again, the winter in the Middle East, the winter in Jerusalem can be extremely uncomfortable, extremely cold. It's a rainy season. You've seen some soccer games recently, in case you watch this kind of stuff, like I do. Of course, this is Brazil now. We are not talking about the Middle East, but you know, the rainy season, it's terrible over there. And so it's very bad in the Middle East. You can look at some scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 22. Or the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 11, talking about the fact that the winter can be extremely uncomfortable in that place, in that area. So why then, after having discussed all of that, Christ's statement, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath? Now again, several possibilities. And again, there might be more. And if you have some ideas, I'm more than happy to listen to them and hear them. But these are the possibilities I've come up with. First of all, we have very strong, strict Orthodox Jews in the Middle East, as you know. We have them even today. They go so far that you cannot even use an elevator. You cannot even switch an electric light to turn lights on. And on it goes. And the implication is that they will become even stricter before Christ returns. There won't be any transportation, perhaps, at least by those who are in charge. And they might oppose those who would want to travel on that day. They might say, oh no, you can't do that on the Sabbath because you can only walk that many, not even miles, that many steps forever. And so it could be extremely difficult for those who would need to flee to get that kind of opposition. Of course, you also need to understand that it's not the best way for us to keep the Sabbath that way, to flee from disaster on the Sabbath. We need to understand that the Sabbath is holy. It's a holy day. It has been sanctified since the creation of man to keep it holy. Christ is called the Lord of the Sabbath. So if there's any day which is specifically assigned to God, it's the Sabbath, not Sunday. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Sunday is the Lord's day at all. But in Mark chapter 2 and verse 28, we read that Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is a rest day. You're supposed to rest on that day. Luke chapter 23 and verse 56 tells us that. In addition, the Sabbath should be a delight for us. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Now, putting all these concepts together, it's clear that going on the Sabbath on a flight for a long journey, it's not the best way to keep it. Now, that doesn't mean that when you need to go to services, that you shouldn't go on a long journey. That is actually something which God commands. But we're not talking about going to Sabbath services. We are talking about somebody fleeing in a situation of distress, of horrible nightmare. And Christ says, well, most certainly that is not the best way of keeping the Sabbath, because your mind would be off, completely and totally off the holiness of the Sabbath. Now, I'm not saying it's prohibited. I'm not saying that if it were the case that we had to flee on the Sabbath, that that would be prohibited. Because Israel left Egypt on the first day of unleavened bread, as you know. Even an annual holy day. We know that Jericho was conquered on the last day of unleavened bread. Another annual holy day, but there's still a difference. The difference is that here we are fleeing from disaster to get to the place of safety. You can compare that, actually, with conquering Jericho or even leaving Egyptian slavery. It's a totally different circumstance. And, of course, then there might be also a very serious situation for those who might have conscientious problems. going on a flight on the Sabbath. And there might be some. And in fact, in Germany, we have a few who have come out of Messianic Judaism, so to speak, and still have to overcome the undue restrictions Messianic Judaism is imposing on their followers. And so there might be some who would have conscientious problems with fleeing on the Sabbath. And Christ says, well, you know, we don't want to create these extra burdens for those people. So these are some thoughts as to why Christ might have made that comment. And it's not just for us, it's also for others. It's also for those who would perhaps need extra help, extra protection, extra encouragement to be able to flee if they are worthy to go to the place of safety. You see, ultimately it comes down to not how we get there, because God will take care of that in His way, but that we get there. And that means that we need to be preparing for the kind of worthiness we all need to have, so that God calls us and treats us worthy enough to get there. And ultimately, that's not even the final solution, because what really matters is that we are going to be worthy to enter the kingdom of God when Christ returns. As I've said so many times, not everyone who is of the Philadelphia spirit, let's put it this way, is going to be at the place of safety. You see, the two witnesses most certainly won't be at the place of safety, and if there's anybody with the Philadelphia spirit, it's going to be them. And I'm not sure that the two witnesses will work all by themselves. They probably will have supporters, and so they won't be at the place of safety either. So let's concentrate on the fact that we need to become worthy in God's eyes to escape all these things which are going to happen and to be able to stand before the Son of Man when God sends back His Son, Jesus Christ. And we all pray, don't we, that time is not that far off.